We'll start the show in just a minute, but first, a word from our premier brand sponsor, CasaGo, and co-sponsors Guest Ranger and Good Neighbor Tech.
CasaGo's founder, Steve Schwab, has been quoted as saying, "You can only be a local in one place." This simple yet profound statement is the basis of CasaGo's franchise model, which allows locally owned vacation rental management companies the ability to compete at a national level by leveraging the systems, software, and support, the buying power of a much larger organization.
As a CasaGo franchisee, you have the freedom to run your business with the support of a community of like-minded professionals while leveraging the economies of scale and buying power to increase profitability and reduce operating costs.
Guest Ranger is the premier guest screening and chargeback protection solution. Leveraging AI, their tool effectively detects fraudulent activity, fake IDs, and underage guests, while also performing comprehensive dynamic background checks. With Guest Ranger, businesses can rest assured that their customers are safe and secure.
Good Neighbor Tech allows you to manage your properties remotely and intelligently, protecting your owners and your guests. Their smart Wi-Fi locks allow you to provide temporary access to home and garage from anywhere and keep track of when guests and service providers are in the property. Good Neighbor Tech provides the ability for you to collect email addresses from all guests staying in a property, not just the one who booked the reservation. Every guest who connects to the internet will see your branded welcome page and be prompted to provide their email address in order to connect to the Wi-Fi.
Visit CasaGo.com/franchise, GuestRanger.com, and GoodNeighborTech.com for more information.
Welcome to Alex and Annie, the real women of vacation rentals. With more than 35 years combined industry experience, Alex Huesner and Annie Holcomb have teamed up to connect the dots between inspiration and opportunity, seeking to find the one story, idea, strategy, or decision that led to their guests' big aha moment. Join them as they highlight the real stories behind the people and brands that have built vacation rentals into the $100 billion industry it is today. And now, it's time to get real and have some fun with your hosts, Alex and Annie.
Welcome to Alex and Annie, the Real Women of Vacation Rentals. I'm Alex.
And I'm Annie.
And we are joined today with Stacey Wesson, who is our CasaGo franchisee of Cascara Vacations. Stacey, it's great to see you.
Good to see you guys as well.
So we haven't seen you since Reno. It was great to finally meet you there. Had a great conversation, but we wanted to continue and learn more about your joining CasaGo and your background and how you came to be with the franchise. But why don't you tell us, our listeners, a little bit about who you are and what you're doing in the industry?
Yeah, so we are one of the oldest ones. I think there's a few others out there, but we've been in the industry for 38 years. So
wow.
I only started this company, I think it was four or five. But yeah, so my mom was a cleaning person and my dad was a real estate guy and had a real estate buddy and said, hey, we could be renting out these second homes that my wife is cleaning. And so that's how Cascara started. So it was really a fun experience to grow up in. My parents were always busy, but we got fun places to visit and trade, doing some trades. That was a lot of fun. And then about, I always say it's 5 years ago, but it's probably about 10 now that I came back to the family business. I was going to school to get my degree in child family welfare, which is an odd job. And then I also did 911. So I've always worked in weird jobs that most people think. And I think vacation rentals falls right into the weird job.
No day is the same, right? There's themes within issues that you see, but every situation is different. And I'm sure that was the case in that job too.
Yeah, it really is. Every day is a new problem, a new strategy. So when I talk to new staff, I'm like, I can't teach you everything. You have to be able to make decisions because weird stuff comes up. So for the last 10 years, I've just been doing this and just trucking along.
That's great. That's such a good point, though, too, that really decision-making in our industry, how important leadership is to all this, of being able to equip your people with the right decision-making skills versus saying, I'm going to teach you everything I know about the business, because it's so nuanced and so many things are constantly changing. And I think leaders like yourselves that have stayed and sustained within the business for many years have done that because you know how to train your people to be flexible, adaptive, and just having that willingness to want to solve problems, which not everybody wants to do that.
I always tell my staff, they have to make a decision. And if they make a decision and whether it's the wrong one or right one, they'll never get in trouble. as long as they have a reason. So they can't go, I don't know, I just made the decision. But if they go, the person was yelling at me or whatever thought process they had to make the decision, I'm totally fine with. I just want to make sure that they make the decision and then we train afterwards. A lot of times they'll come up with better ideas than I've ever thought of. And then other times it was the wrong decision, but I work really hard to train them on, okay, and next time, here's how we solve that issue. And yeah, sometimes it's different. Sometimes the same issue is solved in many different ways. And I know staff have been frustrated that over the past. Last time you told me to do it that way, it was like, something's changed.
Yeah, it always depends on the situation, but that's a really great, again, to Alex's point, a leadership quality that we have been finding more and more as we talk to some of these legacy management companies around the country, is that in order for to keep people wanting to be in this business, you have to want to nurture their spirit and nurture their learning process. And there is no black and white answer for everything because every guest is different. Every experience is different. And if you equip them with the skills to make decisions and make good choices, it just gets better over time. So kudos to you for doing that and recognizing that's something that you needed to do for your team.
Yeah, a lot has changed in 38 years.
Yeah, I bet.
A lot. Yeah.
I know my husband does our marketing. And when he came in, he was looking through some old files and he's, what's the Registered Guard, Seattle Times? I'm like, that's how we used to advertise before the internet. We would put ads out in the local newspaper, not our local newspapers, but in our drive market and the Sunset Magazine. I think that was our biggest advertiser, Sunset Magazine and Seattle Times newspaper. And so he was just blown away because he hadn't thought about, oh, how did you advertise before computers?
It's so funny. It's such a good point. And just before I've gotten to know you through Casago, just as I've learned about your business and then after knowing you through Casago and knowing Greg as well, I've always noticed there's so many similarities between your business and I think just probably your market in general as there are to where I'm at in the Myrtle Beach area, that so many of your stories of that is literally the story of my life. That when I started at Condo World, I remember looking through the history books, literally, and it's like we had these binders of newspaper ads that went dated back for years. But that was literally what the owner of the company did. Like him being the marketing person was he was writing copy, picking out pictures, and that was really it. But there was nothing digital at that point. But I think also in your market, it sounds like you guys are, you're involved with the Chamber of Commerce and you've got some just similarities that these, you know, historically very tourism destinations all kind of share.
Yeah. And we have one of, I always call it the HOA Geico commercial. We have that HOA that if you're, they're going to cut your mailbox off if it's too tall. When I lived here back in the day, we grew up here until my brother and I got in sports and then they decided it was easier to drive to Sun River to work than to drive in to Bend, which is a bigger town, 20 minutes away for sports, my brother and I. But yeah, it was, you couldn't have a beach towel on the back deck to dry. They are so strict and they've actually gotten a lot more lenient, but it's still, there's I think 20 house colors now, but it's all shades of brown and green that you can have. You can't do anything at all.
Okay. That's very different than where I am. I didn't realize that about your market. That's really interesting.
So we laugh because it is, it's this really horrible HOA that is just so picky about anything. And it's because we got a mix of retired people and vacation rentals, but this is a vacation rental community. And so everything here, you don't have restaurants, you don't have stores without us because the full-time owners are only about 30%. And it's a lot of retirees, which always cracks me up because very cold here. Like, to me, this is not the place to retire.
Maybe from Canada, maybe it is.
Yeah.
But you bring up a good point. And I think that goes into something that is probably the biggest hot button item for vacation rentals right now is like regulations. And so there are a lot of areas where it's mixed use, where you've got retirees or you've got residents and you have vacation rentals. And it's how do those types of regulations affect each other? And you have retirees who do have a lot of time to go around and enforce and pick and find. And then you've got the vacation people that are in and out all the time. They're not worried about the fact that they have a towel hanging off their deck. So how do you work within your community to make sure that you find a balance between those people that are living there and then the people that are coming in? And so there's not a lot of friction that would ultimately lead to regulations or bad regulations, I should say.
Yeah, I always feel myself lucky because we're in a resort community. I don't ever per se have to worry about restrictions too much, but I do things still to help facilitate any kind of restrictions. And so recently the HOA had wanted to do a nuisance property it's not a law, but it's just a regulation. And so I got on the board of that and tried to get on as many boards. And what I found first by just being on the board of that thing that we were working on is that so many owners that were on there didn't realize how much, as vacation rental managers, that we do. They didn't know that we don't want bad people in the homes. They just think we want to, again, I think big box companies have put that vibe out that we don't care. It's about money. It's about getting people through the door, where we're like, no, we want this community to be like when I grew up, and it's family oriented and so much fun. But we've had to, it was just amazing to me how many people are like, oh, you do care about the community. So I think going forward, I think we have got to, as an industry, get out in every little market, every little homeowners association, and really get out there and show them what actual vacation rental companies do, because that has been the hardest thing. I'd say about 4% are really tough. Like, they'll call the SROA or the police, because we have a smaller police department, and be like, there's a boat in the driveway. People literally just got there, and they actually have like 48 hours to have that boat in the driveway, but they will call. We had an owner the other day that one of the renters took some of his wood, and he lost his mind. And they were like, hey, we borrowed some of your wood. Have a good day. Oh my gosh. Don't do that.
Oh my gosh.
I think there are some that are just, it's the bridge is too far gone, but I've been working on trying to get all these. I'm going to actually speak at the HOA next month and just tell them the top 10 things that we do and that good property managers do, so they can maybe realize that there is some good there and not get so on the hate train. Because I just feel, especially in today's world, it's just so easy to be like, oh yeah, they're horrible. And like, well, do you know anything about them? No, but they're an Airbnb.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
We're not Airbnb.
Yeah. We've talked about this with several people on the show, that back during COVID, when the state of Florida went to Governor DeSantis, and we're trying to get the ban on short-term rentals lifted, and showed him how our industry uses guest screening and digital locks and so many different things to keep our guests and the properties protected. And he didn't know that short-term rentals did any of this stuff. Like, we really surpassed a lot of hotels and a lot of the technology that we have, but not everybody is aware of that. So I think that's great that you're going and being active in that community. And hopefully they'll listen to you. If I was them, I would, because you're very educated on all this stuff. You're a good person to speak on it.
Yeah. And the nuisance thing we came up with was really good, because we had a few of us property managers on there, because we were like, okay, if somebody's being a nuisance, being loud, being disrespectful, not following all the rules, the homeowner will get fined. Mm-hmm. And so, but we're like, but how much noise? And wait a minute, we can have three bad renters in a row. Cause if you get fined multiple times, it's like you could lose the ability to rent. I mean, it was like, but so we were trying to be really, and the owner just kept getting higher and higher fines. So I'm like, well, we can have three bad renters in a row. They wouldn't be, sorry, let me back that up. They wouldn't lose the ability to rent, but they would be known as a nuisance property. And so I cannot remember what all that detailed, but I know it's fines and stuff like that. But it was, so we made it so that, yes, if you have a weekly renter and each one just happens to be a little rough, then we aren't going to get in too much trouble. But I haven't had any nuisance properties on mine. And so I've been like, yes, we've had no complaint. We've really amped up the rules by telling people in 18 different forms of how to text, phone calls, emails, stickers in the house, without it being so like, here's all the 80 rules you have to follow. But so I think it's good at getting in there and doing something like a nuisance property, because I do think there are some bad players and they need to be punished. But I want people to see, because then we can go back year after year and go, okay, how many nuisance properties are there? Okay, who are the property managers on there? 9 times out of 10, it's not going to be local.
Yeah, the out of town. Yeah, absolutely.
And then maybe they'll start to see, oh, this is the problem, not all vacation rentals. And I feel like if certain areas could get in there with their HOAs or their just community chambers, and be in charge of it, because I don't like regulation, but at least be in charge of it and come up with ideas that would help understand, so they just don't do these blanketed no short-term rentals.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's about responsible tourism at the end of the day. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing to that effect. What are some of the things that you're going to say next week? I'm sure the guest screening would be a big part of it. Like, what technology or what strategies are you using right now?
Yeah. So I'm going to talk about, obviously, Guest Ranger, which is awesome, does the background checks. I'm going to talk about how often we send people stuff. We have a Rubru guidebook, which is amazing, that tells guests all the things. We don't use NoiseAware yet, but with our partnership with Costco, we'll probably start bringing that in. But I know some of the other property managers use it. So I'll be talking as from all of us property managers.
Yeah.
Talk about NoiseAware, talk about just what we send to guests. I'm a procrastinator, so I haven't got it all together yet, but just trying to think of some of the hot topics, like when renters come in with the boats and the parking, can't park on the side of the street, and just talk to how we're alleviating that, sending surveys out to guests before they arrive to find out, what are you doing here? Why are you bringing anything? Oh, you have that uncle that's bringing his trailer. Yeah, you can't do that. I'm trying to reach out and get the rules to the guests. And then just talk about how we're boots on the ground.
Yeah.
We're here 7 days a week. Call us. Because what I'm sure you guys have had this happen. What drives me nuts is an owner will come to his house twice a year. And his neighbor will tell him everything that happened in the last 6 months. And then the owner comes to me and I'm like, I don't know which people had a dog. If your neighbor tells me immediately,
yeah,
I can figure that out. And so we started sending letters to all of our homeowner. When we get a new homeowner on the street, we'll send a letter to all of the neighbors that say, hey, we're managing this home. If anything's wrong, please reach out to us. It's a good advertising thing too.
But I love that. Yeah, yeah, that's really smart.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, it's letting them know, here's who you call. Please call us. Don't call the cop.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, don't tell the owner in 6 months, because that's the last thing they want to hear is all the little things that went wrong that we could, yeah, have easily fixed. And then just talk about our procedures. Like if we have a bad renter, we will absolutely kick them out. And then I think I'm going to talk about Airbnb and Vrbo and explain what they are and maybe some of the big box companies in our area that are not the same thing, so that they can be educated on how they're different and hopefully stop calling us Airbnb and Vrbo.
We'll send you the t-shirts if you want.
Yeah, right. And I think you exemplify something that Steve Schwab says all the time, from the CEO of Casa Go will say all the time, is you can only be a local in one place. And I just love that saying, because it's having been in property management and I've worked in other markets, but it really is so incumbent upon the local person to be the good steward of the business and to be out there and be talking and really making people understand what it is that you do and try to quell any misconceptions. Because there are, to your point, there are some big box companies that operate in hundreds of markets and they just can't be local. They can't know everything that's going on. They can't know that Jed is living next door to Sam and Sam's going to tell Jed all these crazy stories when Jed comes into town. There's just things that an out-of-town company can't do. So I think that's what's really great about how you're operating, is that you understand the value of being active in your community and getting out there and talking to people and being ahead of it before it becomes a problem.
Yeah, and that I think is big. And that's why, you know, what's funny is we also met with our local, we have a small local fire department and police force. And after Paradise in California, we only have two exits out of Sun River. So our fire safety is a huge deal. And so we have it's all propane barbecues, no charcoal, no fireworks, nothing. And the fire department started talking to us at a meeting and they're like, hey, we want to print out these flyers. I'm like, yeah, no flyers. That's going to get lost. But let's do a fridge magnet. So we helped them create a fridge magnet that has a QR code that when guests are here, they can scan it and it will give them the alert in the area while they're here.
Smart. Yeah.
And so it was a really good idea. And I think that's another good idea just with fire safety and all the safety issues with vacation rentals, that they need that information. We also have fridge magnets on our fridges that tell them where they're at. Nine times out of 10, renters will not know in an emergency where they're staying.
Yeah.
They have no clue what the address is. So we put it right on the fridge. This is where you're staying. Because safety-wise, it's just, yeah, there's a lot of things that no one thinks about or pays attention to when you drove in where you were going.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stacey, obviously a lot has changed over the years, what we just spoke about in regulations and that side of things. But what else have you seen has changed? And I guess I would ask that question in the lens of what made you be interested to become part of Casa Go? Because I imagine there's got to be some things that have changed over the years that you realized this was going to help you streamline the business. But can you just tell us a little bit about, you know, your thought process and what was going on?
Yeah. So last April, years have gone together because of COVID. But last April, I was burnt. I've been in the industry 10 years. I've been through my whole life. And I've left a few times. It always calls you back. But I was just feeling frustrated. We had two major companies come in the last couple of years in our area that are just super aggressive, have lots of money just to throw around and stomp on us little guys. And I just was getting very frustrated, wasn't feeling the love of the business. I think the last couple of years have been different. But before that, even Verma had this, I'd been to it a few times and it's not what it was. And I just felt the whole industry was, for me, is my experience, but having just this, I don't know, very clubby, you have to be the right people. the area that I live in, I was trying to get to other property managers. Hey, let's get together and talk. And it was like, they have too much history together for 20 years of history.
Yeah.
And so it was just really, it was very frustrating to me. And I was like, I don't know if I want to be in this business. It's a lot of work to not have the joy at the moment.
Right.
And so we were going to go to NWVRP and I'm like, I don't know, should we even go? I'm speaking, I guess I have to go. I'm like, I better to go. And my husband, Greg, who I will sign up for anything. I'm just that person. I'm like, oh, what's this? Let's sign shiny new object we need to sign up for. Greg's not easily swayed. And so he went to a talk with Ryan and we got to look into this. And I was like, okay, what is it? And I read about it. I'm like, they do what I do. What is Costco? I don't understand. Right. Everything they do, we already do.
We're already doing it.
Yeah. What do we need them for? And so he's, Ryan explained it all. And I'm like, okay. So we sat down with Ryan and I was like, oh, this sounds really interesting. I love it. And then I went up to Matt Land. I'm like, okay, Matt. Are these,
because
I've never met these people. I'm like, are these the people, the real deal? Like, I've never heard of them. And so he's, yes, he's, we just did the video for them. So I went up the skirt. We've seen everything. We spent a lot of time with Costco. They are the real deal. And so it's funny because, yeah, we met with Ryan and I'm like, okay, we're going to meet with Steve. And I'm like, he's probably going to be the arrogant. There always seems to be in the high level business, there's always like the nice guy and then the arrogant guy. And so Steve traveled like 14 hours on a motorcycle to meet us. So that right there was like, wow. And I'm like, he's not arrogant at all. Like, these are the two coolest guys I have ever met. And I just thought, anytime I've tried to do business stuff, I always feel like with corporate or they're just it's not
yeah,
fun.
Definitely. Cold. Yeah.
And they are beyond cold. These guys would give the shirt off their back to help you in any way they can. And so we started meeting them and it was like, okay, they're going to help me in so many different ways combat these bigger companies. I still get to be myself. I get to still be who we are. I looked at what their credo was and all that. I'm like, okay, that's ours. Perfect. I'm just going to copy theirs because I was in the process. Okay, we got to write this. I'm like, nope, theirs is good. Right. We'll just take theirs. And so I just saw the opportunity of community also. The Costco people are just amazing. It is every time I turn around, everybody you talk to is just so nice. Oh, do you do this? Oh, let's share this. And that was what I was missing with at the Vermas and the local companies is, hey, we all have the same problems. Let's talk.
Yeah.
And so that's what I get with Costco. People are sharing their contracts with everybody, like their owner contracts to give ideas. There's ways you can get it. Let's just stop the owner to get your stuff. But it's just been a really cool experience. And I think that's what gave me a total like joy in the business again. Costco saved me and gave me this joy of, oh, this is a fun business. I just have to find the right people.
And I think that's a pretty common thread that I hear as I talk to managers is that they just feel like they're on an island and it's not fun anymore. And when you think about it as a vacation rental manager, you have to know so many things and it's not just about property management. Property management is only like a fraction of all the things you actually have to learn if you're running this business, from the marketing to the business development and everything. Like it is such a wide ranging business that it's just really tough for people to feel like they can keep up with the latest and greatest. And to Greg's point of not always jumping after the shiny penny thing, it's sometimes I can see both sides on that. Sometimes it's you want to, but then you can get burned really easy too. And making the wrong decision can really put you behind on things. So it's worth really vetting. But I think the community part is huge. And you and Greg obviously have leaned into it a lot. And I think the more that you put into something, the more that you're going to get out. And those relationships, they just start to multiply in terms of the value that both sides receive.
Yeah. And I think that we're very much, Greg's a loyalist to companies. When he goes in, he's all in. And that's how we are. We go all in. We bleed Costa go orange.
Yeah.
That's the way you have to do it to really get in there. And I talk to so many people that are looking to come on at Costco, or I'm telling people about Costco, and I'm always like, okay, I've got to find something bad because I don't want to be this. I'm like, there's nothing bad. I'm like, I can't do anything because everything, I've signed up for things before. And I know that fear of, okay, they told me they're doing all this. And even with Costco, I'm like, yeah, they tell me they're going to do all this, but I'm waiting till I see the bottom line because I've signed up for too many things where the sales guy just gets you. And then you go into it and you're like, wait a minute, this isn't right. And they have honored everything and almost better. I feel like there's too much because everyone's like, okay, let's try this. I'm like, I haven't done these things yet. Don't give me these things. I need to get caught up over here. But it's just really neat the way they do things. And the orange meetings are so cool. And I do those with my staff. We do one every other week because in this industry, we actually are rare. We have actually housekeeping in-house staff. This is the first year I've actually used vendors. It's just not been something in our area that's been done. But post-COVID, we have a huge shortage of staff. And so vendors popped up. And I don't have the vendors come yet. That might be something I add in later. But I have the housekeeping staff is always, what does front desk do? They sit in the air conditioning building all day.
Right.
They just bark orders at us. And so I'm like, no, we all need to get in the meeting, come in, meet. So they all get to know each other. And it's been awesome for them to see each other, for them to understand we're the ones that get yelled at by the guests when things aren't wrong, and just really build this relationship. And so we've had such good reviews with the staff. I have currently, we're just amazing staff. Like last month, we had 50 reviews, 42 of them were 5-star.
That's awesome. Good for you.
Eight were 4-star. And the were 4-star. One was a clean issue dog hair, but no clean issues. And it was dated home, which I think is really new big problem in our industry is the dated homes. I told them, hey, let's at the end of the summer, let's all go paddleboarding together, bowling, whatever you guys want to do, send me your ideas and we'll do it as a group if we continue to have these great reviews. And just also talking about why the reviews are important. I read reviews of what guests did complain about in their private notes, not complain, but just say, hey, this would be helpful. Because I thought it was really good for my staff to hear this, to know, I just didn't think it was that important. That switch didn't work. I don't know what it does. And that did this. That's when, if you're struggling putting a blind up or opening something or trying to figure something out, the guest is going to struggle too. We want that information. So having those orange meetings, which Costco started, has just been so cool to use with my staff. And then even the Costco orange meetings that we have weekly with all the managers has been really cool because we get to know each other and talk about the same problems we have. And then there's always an educational piece at every meeting on Friday. So that's been super game changing in this industry, because as every day I swear there's a new thing in this industry.
So you decided you were going to go with Costco. So what did that onboarding process look like for you? So again, you said there was a lot of similarities in the way you were operating your business and what Costco was already doing. So you felt like there was a lot of the, like, just easy peasy, just synergies right from the start. But there was a process. You had to switch over to some of their operational efficiencies. And I'm not sure if you were actually, I don't think you were on Streamline before you went to there. So what did that look like? And how did you feel like their support was there? Because I think that's something that we hear from a lot, is that people worry about if they're going to make a change, it's going to be a broad change. It's going to upend the way they do their business. But I think it seems to be different with Costco in the way that they have the depth of support from the very beginning. I'd love to hear more about it.
Yeah, it's really great. So we had to switch entire software. And that was the other reason in April, I was thinking we need to switch software. Ours was older and wasn't keeping up, but I was on the board of that software company. So it's really awkward to be software.
Yeah.
But we had to make a change. And that's what we found instead of changing software. And so when we switched, we had to switch all new software, which at the time it was like myself, I'm in my mid 40s, my office manager, she's a little older than me. And we've decided we can't switch again. So Costco cannot switch their software at all, because it's too hard to learn new software. It is, oh my gosh, but they make it so easy. Like Michelle, my husband and I all went down to Mexico, because they have you go down to Mexico, and they did all the reservations. We didn't have to enter all the reservations from a previous company.
They did it for you?
Oh yeah. They took care of all of that. We go down to Mexico. It's August. Yeah. So we're like dying because it's so hot down there.
Yeah.
But it was the coolest thing, because everybody down there is just amazing. Like lifelong relationships with everybody at Costco University. And Pilar is amazing. And I did all my homework because I was afraid of her. But she's so amazing. I love Pilar. She's so great. But she's very businesslike. I'm like, I got to get my homework done. But yeah, we went through the training and it was like a fire hose of training. And I made the mistake of not going right back to work. I went to another retreat that I had to go to. And so by the time I got back, I'm like, what? How do I do things? But like learning software, and I haven't done front desk stuff in so long that I'm like, how do I make a reservation? What do I do? But it was hilarious because we went down there, we'd work all day and then we'd have a little fun and then we'd have homework that night. And I think at one point, Greg was totally done on the homework because you have to make reservations and save it, a screenshot, so that you actually did the work. And I think one night he was done and he put photos of our family as the homework. And so the next day at university, they're like, I'm sure this was accidental and you didn't show us your family photos and not your homework. And Greg, no, that was me. So the next night, I'm like, you've got to do your homework. So it was making reservations, which he doesn't do. He's in marketing. I'm like, okay, here's the deal. You start making the margaritas. I'll make all your reservations. And so I traded homework for drinks. It was a lot of fun.
love it.
The secret has been unveiled. I think, Stacey, we're sending you guys back to Mexico.
I know. Pilar, if you're listening.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
I know, we might need a refresher. But yeah, no, it's so good. And they're so in depth. I just feel like even as someone being in the industry 38 years, I learned a ton down there and helped facilitate some things down there for them to help out. Because a lot of the people they get aren't in business for a long time. So how do you teach the people that have been in business for 25 years plus and the people that are never done it before? There is a little bit difference of that. Because some of the stuff, like, yeah, we already know how to do that. But so it's very interesting. It's the craziest thing I've seen because I've onboarded many things and it was the easiest. So like hand holding the whole way. Because most companies, they give you the thing and then they're like out. Like, we've shown you the week-long version. Here you go. We're out. And it's like they handled. I think my other favorite thing is you get a weekly call with them every week with someone down in Mexico to go over things that you don't know how to do, things that aren't working, all of that. And so I'm constantly in connection with Costco. And I think that's what makes it stay so strong. Is it's not something you sign up for and you never see them again. They're part of it. Absolutely. And we get this huge, you can see it in the background maybe, but binder, operations binder. And before Costco, it was all in my head and my office manager, Michelle. So we keep talking about, we have to get things out of our head. And I think anybody been in the industry over 20 years, it's all in their head. And they
all your head. Absolutely. Yeah.
Have to get it out. And so they have this standard operating procedures and it's perfect. It's all there. Why recreate it? Why retype it and just change it for a few things we may have to do differently because of our area. But yeah, it's just like you're being handed a business and you have everything you need. And if you've already been in business, you just tweak what you need. And it's been great.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a great point. Have you brought on any new employees since you transitioned to Costco? And have you been able to use that binder and our standard operating procedures to help in that training process?
This is the first person I've brought on. I had to let go of my operations manager 3 weeks ago, right before summer. Awesome time to do that. So I've been working 14-hour days.
Oh, wow.
Two days off in the last month. Because this is the industry. But I found it amazing and I'm excited. But we just signed her up with the Costa app and all of the training. And then I'm actually hoping, I think it's just a treat because we're bringing her on in the middle of summer, is send her down to training. I think she would love to go down to that area. And I think it'd be it's a treat because you're going to Mexico. So
And
when it gets cold here.
It builds loyalty with the people that you send down there also. I know we've got our Myrtle Beach operators that they're heading down in July. And I think there's five of them going. And I was just talking to them yesterday. I said, those four people that you're bringing with you, they feel really important. So that's a big thing for a company to say, I'm taking you all the way out there. I want you to learn this alongside me. We're in this together. And I think that just, it speaks volumes to staff when they feel like they're being valued and people want to be trained. People want training more than I think we all give employees credit for.
They really do. And they want to know how to do their job really well. And because the job is so complex, I think we're giving her the fire hose training over summer, but I thought it would be really nice to have her and her husband does all our maintenance. So I thought he's a contractor, but I thought we'll send him down. They can go together. Yeah. He doesn't have to go to the classes if he doesn't want to, but maybe as a vendor, he'd want to see what it's like. But they can go together and go down there. So I think it'd be a fun treat for them. But it is. No, there's no one out there that has this kind of training that I've seen. It's just you learn the software and you're on your own. And there's nothing, because sometimes I wouldn't mind going back down and having a refresher because there's software's also changing. I learned about something, which is why the weekly calls are so good, because I learned about something last week that I didn't even think I learned about, or it just went over my head. But it was a way to track some guest issues. And I'm like, that is so cool. And so that's what the beauty of those weekly meetings are, is I can go to them and go, okay, this isn't working. How do I do this? What report should I run for this? Because they use Streamline. It is, compared to our last software, it's so big. There's so many things within Streamline that I guess half the time people aren't even using. Like they don't even turn on all the things.
Yeah.
And so it's so overwhelming to learn how to do stuff. And if I can quickly get on a call and be like, hey, how do I do this? The other beauty is we have a WhatsApp channel with all the managers, and that's super cool too, that we can
talk. That's going off all day long.
It's like a new social media channel. It's, oh my gosh, what now? No. And then I get really caught up in it and I'm like, there's 2 hours left.
Yeah, exactly. News ticker.
But that's really great that you've got like a broad support group, not just within Costco, but within the other owners and franchisees, like that you guys are all supporting each other and wanting the success of each other. And there's nothing better than to have that team environment and going back to with your employees. Like if you can create a raving fan from your employee, they're going to create raving fans from your guests. And it's just a cycle that will continually fulfill the prophecy of being a great company. And so it sounds like you made a good choice and it aligned with the way you guys were already doing business. So great job. Casa Go has been good for you. And it's good to hear. I hear so many great things about it. And it's been a pleasure to get to know Steve and Ryan and their team. I haven't met Pilar yet, but just getting to know the franchisees and what they offer. It is nice because you're right. You don't hear of this level of support with other organizations.
Yeah. And I think what's exciting about the industry that I'm actually seeing lately is a lot more camaraderie. I went to Verma, my first Verma in a long time. It was in Kansas City. So it wasn't the best area. It was like, I don't think people wanted to fly there. It was just a low turnout. But a couple of the vendors got together and did pickleball. I've never played pickleball and it was the most fun.
They said that was the most fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I think that we missed that.
Yeah, we missed it.
There's an epic photo of me floating around, I think, where they said, use your best game face when we took the photo at the end. So I did this and I had this big, huge, like,
took it really serious.
It was horrible because no one, everybody else is like, and I went all for it.
I love that.
But it's pretty funny. It's a great picture. But I think
I love it.
Meeting some people and then NWRP, since I've been back, gotten into that has been phenomenal. It's very friendly. Everybody's friendly. And I know Verma's, I think since I've had issues like 7 years ago, they have tried to change the tune of how Verma is. And I think it's just interesting. There's so many new players or older players that are hungry for this friendships and these connections that I'm excited to see where this goes because people are just, it's different than when I was in it growing up and 10 years ago. It's not, it was very enemy driven. Okay, you're the competition. Like I've been
absolutely.
Where my local competition doesn't even talk to me. I'm like, we still talk to each other. We're not like it's weird. Like there's been that strong of connection. I think some of that is those businesses and that's how they obviously tell their employees to. That speaks to me in some inner stuff, maybe going on the company of how they treat the competition and all that. But it's just been really good. And I'm excited for all of these. And I think some of the newer people getting into the game have brought it more to the, hey, this is fun industry. What are we doing? And let's all talk. And they don't have 30 years of duking it out with everybody fighting. So I think the new people coming into the game are very refreshing. And I think they're bringing the joy a little bit back and just the, hey, let's work together. Let's take on the big box stores. Let's take on the people that aren't doing what we do because there is a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what's next for the company, Stacey? Where do you see the trajectory of growth for this year and beyond?
Yeah. So our big growth comes in the fall after busy season, but we're at, I think, 80 homes. We want to get back up to 100. That's just the sweet spot for me because we really are really high end hands on with our guests and making sure they're having the best time delivering flowers. We had a guest that was in a head on collision. Their car got totaled. And so my staff member that morning went to the local bakery, got a bunch of pastries and delivered it to their front door, knowing they're not going to have anywhere to get food. And then helping people out. So we have high attention on our guests that we just want to always help as much as we can. So to me, and with the way staffing is lately, I don't foresee us getting to the 200 level. We're wanting to maybe fit in that more boutique style vacational company. So we're going to try to get the best owners, the best renters, all that, the good people in, the people that don't want to fix up their houses, we're going to eventually have to part with because now there's too many homes in the industry. And so those older homes are just going to get kicked to the curb or not get any rentals. And so we're gonna work with renters, try to get them up to par and then move on from that. But if they don't want to fix up their home, but other than that, just really building that. I also don't want to be in the business forever. So I'm looking at ways that I can really step back, maybe go to do more speaking events at all the conferences, reach out in other ways, maybe some HOA stuff and maybe even government stuff. I like to speak and do that stuff. And I don't like to sit at a desk and do the monotony of work. So that's where I'm searching, hopefully that I can get my business set so I can step away in the next year to really focus on not being as much of the business, but really helping out the industry as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of where I look to hopefully be going.
I think that's a great plan. And I think you're going to do wonderful at that. And the best part is we get to see you at most of the conferences that we go to. So that's also a really nice part of having you part of Casa Go. And then also we've just come into each other's orbits in the last year or so, but it's looking forward to this fall.
I'm one of those weird, I'm a conference junkie. I'm a board. Put me on a board. I don't know. Yeah. For some reason, I love just meeting with people and talking. So like I'm helping them in our board, another owner's board I'm on this month is they're putting in a dog park in Centerverse. So I'm helping them figure out where the best place for that is, all the things. Yeah, I always sign up for my husband. What board are you on now?
Yeah, that sounds like me too.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. That's great. We need that energy. And I think that you have just the spirit that you want to share with everybody. And first time I met you, it's very evident. You are it makes this industry so much fun. And so great to be a part of. And I just hope that you'll be able to continue to share that with all of us and maybe run for the Verma board someday.
They're that's
for
right.
Some really great energy.
That'd be great.
It'll be my next pick.
Awesome. Stacey, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way to reach out?
Usually I'm on LinkedIn, email Stacey@CascaraVacationsWithAnS.com is the best. And I'm on LinkedIn too. Just the usual ways to find me. Or in my office, if you're in the area, come say.
Awesome. We will include that in the show notes for everybody. And if anyone wants to get in touch with Annie and I, you can go to alexandanniepodcast.com. And until next time, thanks for tuning in, everybody.